Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Blood Type Influencer, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Diagnosis. The fluorescent lights hummed like a swarm of wasps overhead, their glare bleaching the color out of everything. The peeling beige walls, the wilted potted plant in the corner, even the doctor's face as she opened her mouth to say the words that would change my life. Or more accurately, monetize it. Stage for kidney failure, Dr. Patel said, her voice crisp, professional, and utterly detached. She might as well have been reading a takeout menu. At this point, dialysis is mandatory. A transplant is your only long-term hope. I didn't cry. I didn't scream. I didn't do any of the things they show in those Lifetime movies where the plucky heroine clutches her pearls and vows to fight. Instead, I sat perfectly still, my freshly manicured nails, bubblegum bitch pink, $75 a pop, digging into the paper-covered exam table. My mind wasn't racing about survival rates or treatment plans. It was racing about content. Kidney failure? Boring. Depressing. A slow, unsexy slog of needles and machines. But cancer? Cancer was a story. Cancer had a brand. Cancer had hashtags. How long do I have? I asked, tilting my head just enough to catch the harsh light on my cheekbones. I'd contour med the hell out of my face that morning, not knowing I'd end up in a hospital. Priorities. Dr. Patel blinked, thrown by my tone. With consistent dialysis years. But without a transplant. Yeah, got it, I said, hopping off the table. My Balenciaga sneakers squeaked against the linoleum. Just email me the paperwork. The Uber ride home was a blur of honking traffic and vibrating notifications. My feed was already littered with hashtag ads for probiotic gummies and waist trainers, posts that had netted me maybe 3 likes each. Pathetic. But as I scrolled, an idea began to crystallize, sharp and glittering as broken glass. What if I gave them a story instead of shitty products? By the time I slammed the door of my apartment, a sleek, overpriced shoebox in Soho with a view of a brick wall, I'd already drafted the post in my head. I stripped off my hoodie, yanked my hair into a messy bun that took 20 minutes to perfect, and smeared on just enough mascara to look brave, not desperate. The hospital bracelet stayed on, of course. Prop department, I thought, snapping a selfie in the bathroom mirror. The caption wrote itself. They say I'm fighting for my life, but I'm really fighting for you. Hashtag cancer warrior, hashtag never surrender. I hesitated for half a second, my thumb hovering over the post button. The lie was so big, so permanent. But then I remembered the comments on my last video. Who even follows this bitch anymore? Another ad? Yawn. And pressed share. The notifications exploded like a grenade. At Glowgirl99, OMG, I had no idea you were going through this. You're so brave. At FitFamKevin, sending prayers and positive vibes. At TruthTellerX, wait, since when does kidney failure equals cancer? I deleted the last one and blocked the account. The next morning, I woke up to 50,000 new followers and a DM from a vitamin company. Your strength is inspiring. Let's collab on a wellness warrior bundle. By noon, I'd signed a deal for 20% of sales on their overpriced turmeric capsules. By 3 p.m., I was filming a tearful GRWM, get ready with me, chemo edition. In my bathroom, dabbing non-existent tears with a Kleenex while promoting a $200 self-care candle. It's not just about smell, I whispered to the camera, my voice trembling on cue. It's about finding light in the darkest moments. The video went viral. 2 weeks later, I sat in a dialysis chair for the first time, my blood cycling through a whirring machine as I edited a photo of my arm hooked up to tubes. I'd added a Valencia filter to make the scene look softly tragic and tagged a jewelry brand in the foreline. Even warriors need bling. Shop my medical chic bracelet stack. The nurse, a tired-looking woman with a live laugh love tattoo, scowled at my phone. You shouldn't be stressing yourself, she said, adjusting my needles like she was punishing me. Stress is part of the journey, I said sweetly, flipping the camera to film her. Say hi to my followers. She turned away, but not before I caught her eye roll. I posted it anyway. The lies piled up faster than the cash. I launched a GoFundMe for alternative treatments and linked it to every post. Followers donated. $5, $10, $500, their comments painting me as some kind of martyr. You're my hero. Teach me how to be strong. I used the money to rent a nicer apartment, better lighting for photos, and bought a designer wig to sell the chemo look. Jake, my boyfriend of 6 months, watched it all with a mix of awe and disgust. This is fucked up, you know that? He said one night, staring at the stack of hashtag ad packages crowding our kitchen. I shrugged, sipping a margarita. I shouldn't have been drinking on a compromised immune system. They'd rather fund a fairy tale than pay their own rent. That's not my fault. He opened his mouth to argue, but I kissed him hard and slid his hand under my shirt. Distraction was easy with him. Jake was all biceps and no brains, a walking thirst trap I'd picked up at a gym sponsor shoot. He didn't care about the lies. He cared about the follower count, the freebies, the reflected glow of dating someone inspirational. But 3 months in, the guilt started to itch worse than my dialysis catheter. It wasn't the scams that got to me, it was the DMs. At single mom struggling, my daughter has leukemia. What chemo combo worked for you? At grieving dad, lost my wife to breast cancer. You give me hope. At Anon 123, I'm stage 3. How do you stay so positive? I deleted them. All of them. Then one night, after a double shift of dialysis and a photo shoot for hospital chic loungewear, I broke. What if I just stop? I muttered to Jake, staring at the ceiling. We were in bed, his arms slung over me like a weight. He laughed. And do what? Go back to shilling laxative teas. I didn't answer. The next morning, the DM appeared. At Emily_Warren_22. I'm a match. I'll give you my kidney. My coffee went cold as I read it again. And again. Her profile was a shrine to me. Every post I'd ever made liked saved. Photos of my face collaged with hearts. A highlight reel titled My Inspiration. I typed back, fingers trembling. Why? Her reply was instant. Because you're my hero. By midnight, I'd agreed to meet her. By 3 a.m., I was drunk on champagne and the dizzying promise of survival. By dawn, I realized I'd made a deal with something far worse than disease. But that's chapter 2. Chapter 2, The Savior. Emily's DM glowed on my screen like a neon sign in the dark. I'm a match. I'll give you my kidney. I read it 3 times, my thumb trembling over the words. The room felt suddenly airless, the walls of my overpriced Soho apartment closing in. My phone slipped from my hand, clattering onto the marble countertop. For the first time since I'd faked my diagnosis, I couldn't tell if I was about to vomit from guilt or relief. I'd been drowning in the lie for months. Dialysis left me hollowed out, my skin sallow under layers of Fenty foundation. The GoFundMe cash kept rolling in, but the DMs from real cancer patients, pleading for advice, for hope, had started to feel like shards of glass in my throat. And now this. A stranger offering me salvation. Or a trap. I clicked on her profile. At Emily_Warren_22. Her feed was a shrine to me. Every post I'd ever made, reposted with cloying captions. Queen crown. Living for this look, smiling face with heart eyes. You're my reason, sparkling heart. A highlight reel titled My Inspiration featured screenshots of my cancer posts, her own selfies filtered to mimic mine, and a photo of my face photoshopped next to hers like some deranged friendship collage. My stomach twisted. Why? I typed back, fingers shaking. Her reply came instantly. Because you're my hero. We met at a Starbucks 2 blocks from the hospital. I wore oversized sunglasses and a hoodie, though the July heat clung to the city like a sweaty fist. She was already there, perched on a stool by the window, her posture unnervingly straight. Emily Warren was prettier in person, soft brown hair, freckles, a smile that didn't reach her eyes. She looked like the girl next door in a horror movie. I brought my medical records, she said, sliding a folder across the table. Her nails were painted pastel pink, chipped at the edges. Blood type, tissue compatibility, everything. I'm perfect. I flipped through the pages, the jargon blurring. HLA matching. Cross-match negative. It looked legit. How'd you even know I needed a kidney? Her laugh was too high, too eager. You mentioned dialysis in your GRWM video last week. The one where you cried talking about your chemo curls. She air-quoted the last words, and my blood went cold. Right, I said, forcing a smile. So why me? She leaned in, her voice dropping to a whisper. Because you're real. You don't sugarcoat things. When you posted about shaving your head, I felt that. She touched her own hair, thick and shiny. I want to help you keep being brave. The lie curdled in my chest. She thinks I'm brave. The tests confirmed it. Emily was a match. Dr. Patel raised an eyebrow when I brought her in. You're fortunate, she said, scrolling through Emily's files. Living donors like this are rare. Emily beamed, squeezing my hand. It's destiny. The surgery was scheduled for October 12th. I spent the next 2 weeks filming pre-op diaries, me crying in a hospital gown rented, hugging Emily stiffly, and plugging a surgery survival kit collab with a makeup brand. The comments section was a tsunami of heart emojis. This is the most beautiful friendship, loudly crying face. Faith in humanity restored. Take my kidney too, smiling face with heart eyes. Emily reposted every clip, adding her own saccharine commentary. So honored to walk this journey with my idol revolving hearts. Her follower count tripled. The night before the surgery, Jake found me hunched over the bathroom sink, scrubbing fake tears off my face. You're really gonna do this? He said, leaning against the doorframe. His biceps flexed under his threadbare tee, the one I'd bought him to match my casual sick girl aesthetic. I don't have a choice, I snapped. You think I want some psycho's organ inside me? He smirked. You wanted her followers, though. I threw a mascara wand at him. It clattered into the shower. Get out. He left, but not before muttering, you're gonna regret this. The air was colder than I'd imagined. Or maybe that was the fear. I lay on the table, staring at the ceiling tiles while nurses prepped my four. Emily was already under, two rooms over, her kidney waiting to be harvested. What if she dies? The thought slithered in unbidden. What if I kill her? The anesthesiologist patted my arm. Count backward from 10. I made it to 7. When I woke up, Emily was sitting beside my bed. Her face was pale, dark circles bruising her eyes, but she smiled like she'd just won the lottery. Hey, Rumi. I tried to speak, but my throat was sandpaper. She held a straw to my lips, her fingers icy. They said everything went perfect, she said. We're connected now. Literally. She giggled, high and shrill. The painkillers made the room swim. Where's Jake? Her smile faltered. Getting coffee. He'll be back. But when I blinked awake hours later, she was still there, scrolling through my phone. What are you doing? I croaked. She didn't look up. Answering your DMs. Your fans are freaking out. I lunged for the phone, but the incision in my side tore like fire. I gasped, collapsing back onto the pillows. Careful, Emily said, tucking the phone into her purse. You don't want to hurt our kidney. Recovery was a haze of pain meds and performative gratitude. Emily moved into my apartment, just temporarily. Slept on my couch, and cooked broth she insisted would heal us both. Jake avoided her, crashing at his gym instead. She's always watching me, he muttered once after she'd accidentally walked in on him shirtless. She saved my life, I said, but the words tasted like ash. My feed thrived. Emily and I became a package deal. Hashtag transplant twins, hashtag sister survivors. We filmed duet GRWMs, her doing my makeup while I winced at my stitches. The sponsorships rolled in, matching pajamas, protein shakes, a fucking kidney-shaped necklace. But then the DMs started. First, a photo of Jake leaving our building, timestamped 2:13 a.m. Where's he going? Emily wrote. Then a shot of me popping painkillers at CVS. You shouldn't mix those with alcohol, kiss mark. Finally, a selfie of her in my bed, wearing Jake's hoodie. You're welcome. Now give me your boyfriend, your apartment, and your fucking followers. I found her in the kitchen the next morning, humming as she scrambled eggs. What the hell is this? I shoved my phone in her face. She glanced at the screen and laughed. Relax. It's a joke. This isn't funny, Emily. Are you following me? Her spatula clattered against the pan. When she turned, her eyes were wet. You think I'd do that? After everything I gave up for you. She lifted her shirt, revealing the angry red scar across her abdomen. I'm in pain every day because of you. And you're accusing me of what? Being a stalker? The guilt hit like a gut punch. I didn't mean. Save it. She dumped the eggs into the trash. Maybe I should have let you die. The apartment door slammed. When I checked her Instagram later, she'd posted a tearful selfie. When your hero breaks your heartbroken heart. The comments were a lynch mob. She doesn't deserve you. Take the kidney back. We love you, Emily flexed biceps. I closed the app, my stitches burning. Emily owned me now. And she knew it. Chapter 3, The Bargain. The stitches in my side itched like a colony of ants had taken up residence beneath my skin, a constant, crawling reminder of the debt I owed. Emily's kidney wasn't just an organ. It was a leash, and she'd started yanking it hard. She sat cross-legged on my bed, wearing my silk robe, painting her toenails bubblegum bitch pink while scrolling through my Instagram DMs. "This one's juicy," she said, holding up my phone like a trophy. "How do you stay so strong? Ugh, boring. Let's spice it up." "Give that back," I snapped, lunging for it. She jerked the phone away, smirking. "Relax. I'm just optimizing your brand. Your replies are so basic." She tapped out a response, her tongue poking between her teeth. "There. Now you sound human." I snatched the phone. The screen glared back. "At Vivian Voss. Strength? Honey." I cry in the shower and scream into my designer pillows. "By the fucking candles." The comment section was already exploding. "At Selfcare Queen. YS Real Talk Clapping Hands. Dot. At Toxic Positivity Hater. Finally someone honest. At Cancer Warrior 91. How dare you mock our struggle?" Emily grinned. "See? Engagement's up 200%. I wanted to strangle her. Instead, I took a shaky breath. "What do you want, Emily? Another collab? More followers? Just name it." She uncrossed her legs, leaning forward. The robe slipped, revealing the jagged scar on her abdomen. My scar now, my shame. "I want you to beg." The bargain began at midnight. Emily made me kneel on the cold hardwood floor of my apartment, my hands clasped like a sinner in confession. She filmed it all, the camera's red light blinking like a predator's eye. "Say it," she demanded, her voice sweet as poisoned honey. "Please," I whispered, the word clawing up my raw throat. "Please don't expose me." She tilted her head, the camera catching her faux sympathy. "Louder. And cry this time. The people love tears." I dug my nails into my palms, summoning thee. "Please, Emily. I'll do anything." A single tear slipped free, half acting, half rage. She stopped recording, reviewing the footage with a critic's eye. "Not bad. But let's get a close-up of the snot." The video went viral, of course. Influencer breaks down over secret health battle. TMZ screeched. Vivian Voss emotional plea to mysterious savior. Pop Crave tweeted, alongside a screenshot of me sobbing at Emily's feet. My DMs overflowed with pity and vitriol. Sponsors dumped me, then slid into Emily's inbox. By dawn, she'd signed a deal with the candle company that dropped me, her face plastered on ads with the tagline, "Light your darkest moments, dizzy dot." I drank. Cheap tequila this time, the burn a punishment. Emily found me slumped against the fridge, bottle in hand, and kicked it away. "Up," she ordered. "We're filming a morning routine." "Go to hell," I slurred. She crouched, gripping my chin. Her breath smelled like mint and malice. "You're already there, Viv. Now get up and smile." The routine was a farce. Emily forced me to juiceless kale, meditate on a yoga mat still sticky from her midnight yoga sessions with Jake, and rave about a probiotic she'd never taken. She filmed every flinch, every forced smile, narrating to her new followers like a deranged fairy godmother. "See, even warriors need greens. Vivian's journey is all about balance. Shop her leggings, link in bio." The leggings were hers now. So was the bio. Jake came over that night, his gym bag slung over his shoulder like a threat. Emily buzzed him in without asking, then paraded him past me like a prize poodle. "Look who's here," she trilled, kissing his cheek. He didn't meet my eyes. "Hey, hey," I echoed, blocking their path to the bedroom. "That's all you've got?" He shrugged, muscles rippling under his thin tee. "You said to move on." Emily giggled, dragging him away. "Come on, babe. I need help with my form." The door slammed. I turned up the TV to drown them out, but the news was worse, a clip of my breakdown playing on loop, the cheer and screaming. "Influencer implodes. Faked illness stole life?" I muted it. The walls throbbed with Emily's laughter. At 3 a.m., she crept into the living room, her hair mussed, Jake's hoodie swallowing her frame. She paused in front of me, a shadow with a predator's grin. "Still awake," she purred. "Good. We need to talk branding." "Fuck your branding." She sighed, pulling up a slideshow titled, "The Emily and Viv Redemption Arc." "You're stuck in the past, babe. The cancer thing? Old news. But a toxic friendship, a stolen kidney, a love triangle?" She tapped the screen, a pie chart exploding into view. "That's legacy." I stared at the bullet points. "Joint podcast. Sister survivors. Reality show pitch. Shared blood. Merch line. Hashtag Team Viv versus hashtag Team M." "You're insane," I whispered. "And you're irrelevant," she shot back. "But together, we're a fucking empire." She dropped a contract on the coffee table, the pages smudged with Jake's cologne. "Sign it, or I leak the hospital footage." The footage. A security clip from the night of the transplant, timestamped 2:47 a.m. Me, stumbling out of the hospital pharmacy with a fistful of laxatives, giggling to Jake about chemo bloat. Emily had somehow gotten her hands on it. Proof I'd never had cancer, just a talent for lies. I picked up the pen. By morning, Emily owned 51% of my brand. She celebrated by changing all my passwords, replacing my headshots with hers, and live-streaming my apology tour from the balcony. I lied. I told the camera, Emily's hand vice-gripping my shoulder. But Emily saved me anyway. She's my hero. The comments rolled in like a funeral procession. At cancel culture vulture. Pathetic. Hashtag Team Emily, queen of forgiveness. At Jake's abs, marry her already. Jake waved from the couch, shirtless, mouthing, you did this. Emily squeezed harder, her nails drawing blood. Smile, Viv. We're immortal. Chapter 4, The Descent. The positive pregnancy test sat on the kitchen counter like a live grenade. Emily had framed it in a gold Instagrammable tray, lit by the soft glow of my Himalayan salt lamp, as if it were a fucking trophy. Two pink lines screamed louder than the sirens outside my apartment. I picked it up, my reflection warped in the plastic, and wondered how many lies it took to crack a soul. Jake's voice still clawed at my brain. Yeah, I slept with her. No apology. No remorse. Just four words that turned my ribs into a cage of shattered glass. Emily was live-streaming in the living room, her bare feet propped on my coffee table, painted toes wiggling for the camera. Morning sickness is no joke, y'all, she groaned, sipping a green smoothie she'd tagged hashtag wellnessmama. But baby makes it all worth it, right? The comments rolled in like a death march. At MomTalk 123, is Vivian the godmother? At JakeFan4Life, Jake's gonna be such a DILF smiling face with heart eyes. At Truth Warrior, this is disgusting. She stole her kidney and her man? I stormed into the frame, snatching the smoothie out of her hand. We need to talk. Now. She smirked, fluttering her lashes at the camera. Hormones, am I right? Back in 10, loves. She ended the stream and leaned back, arms folded. What's the problem, sis? You're not pregnant. Says who? Says the fact that you've been chugging vodka tonics all week. She shrugged, picking at her nail polish. Maybe I'm a party mom. I slammed the test in front of her. Where'd you get this? Did you fake it? Wouldn't you like to know? She stood, stretching lazily, her silk robe slipping to reveal the scar I'd given her. The one she'd given herself when she tripped into my knife. But here's the thing, Viv. Even if it's fake, the internet thinks it's real. And Jake? Well, he definitely thinks it's real. The room tilted. You told him? Of course. He's over the moon. She pulled up a text thread with Jake. Heart emojis, baby bottle stickers, a sonogram photo she'd clearly photoshopped. He's picking out onesies as we speak. I lunged for her phone, but she danced back, laughing. Careful. Wouldn't want another accident. I found Jake at his gym, bench pressing his body weight like he could sweat out the guilt. He didn't stop when he saw me. Just kept lifting, veins bulging, as I stood there in last night's mascara and Emily's judgment. It's not yours, I said. The weights clanged. What? The baby. She's lying. He sat up, wiping his face with a towel. Why would she lie? Because she's a psychopath. Because she wants to ruin me. My voice echoed off the mirrors, drawing stares from the meatheads nearby. You think she actually wants a kid? She wants content. A storyline. And you fell for it. He stared at his shoes, the ones I'd bought him. Does it matter? You lied about cancer. She lied about a baby. You're both full of shit. The truth punched the air out of me. So you're just okay with this? He stood towering over me, the smell of his sweat sharp and familiar. I'm okay with not being your fucking prop anymore. Emily was waiting when I got home, her phone aimed at my face. Smile. We're filming a gender reveal. She'd turned the apartment into a pastel nightmare, pink and blue balloons, a cake shaped like a onesie, a banner that read Team Baby Voss, in my font. My followers had sent gifts, stuffed animals, tiny Jordans, a onesie that said, Daddy's Gym Buddy. Take it down, I said. Or what? She bit into a cupcake, frosting smearing her lips. You'll tell them the truth? Go ahead. I'll just say the stress of your cancer made me miscarry. She fake pouted. Imagine the engagement. I grabbed the banner, ripping it in half. You're sick. Sicker than you? She tossed the cupcake at me. It exploded against the wall, frosting dripping like blood. You faked a terminal illness for clicks. I'm just optimizing the narrative. The doorbell rang. Emily brightened. Ooh, that's the crew. What crew? She flung the door open. Two camera guys barged in, trailing a perky producer with a headset. "We're here for the transplant baby shoot." Emily clasped her hands. "Surprise! We're filming a docu-series about our journey. Netflix is very interested." I froze. "Our what?" She grabbed my arm, nails digging in. "Say cheese." The shoot lasted 6 hours. They filmed us bonding. Emily painting my nails while I stared dead-eyed at the camera, Emily teaching me to knit baby booties, Emily fake crying about how blessed she was to have me as a co-mom. During a bathroom break, I found her Googling how to fake a baby bump on my laptop. "You're unbelievable," I spat. She didn't look up. Says the girl who photoshopped her hospital bracelets. That night I drank. Vodka straight from the bottle. The burn a welcome punishment. Emily's laughter floated from my bedroom, where she was filming a TikTok dance in my lingerie. I stumbled to the balcony, the city lights blurring into a smear of gold and sin, and dialed the only number I hadn't blocked. My mom picked up on the third ring. "Vivian." "Hey," I slurred. "Remember when you said I'd end up alone?" Silence. Then, "Are you drunk?" I laughed, the sound jagged. "I'm famous. Isn't that what you wanted?" "What I wanted," her voice cracked, "was for you to be happy." A balloon from the gender reveal party floated past, caught in the wind. "Team Baby Voss." "Too late," I whispered and hung up. Emily found me passed out on the couch at 3 a.m., empty bottle in hand. She filmed it all, the mascara streaks, the drool, the hashtag-worthy rock bottom, and uploaded it with the caption. "Recovery isn't linear broken heart hashtag transparent journey hashtag addiction awareness." The comments were merciless. "At Sober Sis, this is triggering. At Cancel Viv, she's a mess. Emily deserves the account. At Jake Forever. Glad he dodged this train wreck." I woke to Emily shaking me, her grip vice tight. "Rise and shine, co-mom. We've got a prenatal yoga collab at 7. I lunged for her throat. We crashed into the coffee table, glass shattering, cameras rolling. She clawed my face, I yanked her hair. Her phone filmed it all, the screams, the blood, the raw, ugly truth, as followers tuned in like it was a fucking pay-per-view brawl. Security came. The cops followed. And when they pulled us apart, Emily looked into the camera, tears pristine, and whispered, "I just wanted to help her." Chapter 5, The Takeover. The morning sunlight stabbed through the curtains like shards of glass, but the real pain was the notification buzzing on the phone Emily had left charging on my nightstand. "At Vivian Voss. Big news, loves." Party popper taking a step back to focus on my health. Meanwhile, meet the new face of my brand. At Emily underscore Warren underscore 22. Trust her like you trusted me. Kiss mark. The post was pinned to the top of my profile, a grinning selfie of Emily wearing my favorite Gucci scarf, her arm slung around Jake. The caption read like a eulogy. My eulogy. I lunged for my laptop, fingers trembling as I tried to log into Instagram. Password incorrect. Tried again. Incorrect. My email? Locked. Even my fucking Netflix account had been rebranded to Emily's Chill Zone. You bitch. I screamed into the empty apartment, hurling the laptop against the wall. It shattered, plastic shards skittering across the floor like broken bones. Emily's laugh rang out from the hallway. Ah, did someone forget her login? She sauntered in, holding a Starbucks cup with her name scrawled on it, wearing my robe. Relax, Viv. I'm just streamlining our assets. Arr! I hissed. She tossed a contract onto the coffee table, the one I'd signed in a tequila haze. Page 12, Clause 3b. Brand management may be delegated to a mutually agreed-upon partner in times of crisis. And baby, you're Chernobyl. Jake arrived at noon, carrying a box of Emily's essentials. Velvet hangers, rose quartz face rollers, a framed photo of herself. He wouldn't look at me. Traitor. I spat as he stacked her shit on my bookshelf. He slammed the photo down, Emily's eyes gleaming under the glass. You made me choose. I didn't make you fuck her. He wheeled around, veins bulging. You didn't stop it either. You threw me at her like a fucking chew toy. The truth hung between us, rancid and undeniable. Emily waltzed in, snapping a TikTok of our standoff. Drama alert. Police Garlight, should I do a poll? Team Jake or Team Viv? I grabbed her phone, hurling it into the kitchen sink. It died with a gurgle. Emily sighed. That was a limited edition iPhone case. Get. Out. She clicked her tongue, pulling up a video on her Apple Watch. Security footage from the hospital pharmacy, timestamped the night of my chemo confession. My laughter echoed tinny and shrill. Cancer's just a hashtag, babe. You've got three choices, she said, sweet as cyanide. One, play nice. Two, I leak this. 3. Jump off the balcony and really give the people a story. I chose option 4, a fifth of vodka and a Xanax chaser. The live stream was Emily's idea. It's a rebranding, she chirped, gluing false lashes to my bloodshot eyes. We'll call it Raw and Real, Healing Together. Fuck you, I slurred, the Xanax melting my words. She slapped me hard. Smile, or I'll tell them about the abortions. The camera blinked on. Emily positioned us on the couch, her hand clamped on my thigh like a vice. Hi, warriors, she cooed. As you know, Viv's been struggling lately. But that's why I'm here. To lift her up just like she lifted me. The comments rolled in. At Sisterhood Squad, this is beautiful loudly crying face. At Cancel Viv, she looks wasted. At Jake Forever, marry Emily already. Emily squeezed my thigh, nails drawing blood. Tell them how much you love me, Viv. I stared into the lens, my reflection a grotesque parody, smudged mascara, forced smile, Emily's arms slung around me like a python. She's my hero. The gifts exploded. Digital roses, cash donations, a fucking diamond crown. Emily blew kisses, tears glistening on command. Your support means everything. Now shop our new collab. Warrior Wellness Gummies. She held up a bottle of melatonin laced with CBD, the label plastered with our faces. Mine was from last year. Afterward, I found the pregnancy test in her drawer. Not the fake one from before. A new one. Negative. Dated 2 days ago. Confronting her was a blur. You lied, I seethed, waving the test in her face. To Jake. To everyone. Emily glanced up from her MacBook, where she was editing our live stream. So, he thinks you're having his baby. She smirked. And, miscarriages get great engagement. I've got a whole content calendar. The room spun. You're sick, says the girl who faked cancer for a Sephora sponsorship. She stood, circling me. But here's the thing, Viv. You're stuck. If you expose me, you expose yourself. If you stay, I own you. Either way, I win. She was right. I was a ghost in my own life, haunting the edges of her empire. That night, I broke into her laptop. A folder titled Research held photos of other influencers, wellness gurus, mommy bloggers, a British girl with a sob story about lupus. All had interacted with Emily. All had disappeared from social media months later. One name stood out, Lila Torres, a fitness influencer who'd vanished after a mental health break. Her last post was a blurry selfie with Emily, captioned, "My guardian angel baby angel dot." I dug deeper, my hands shaking. Expunged court records. Emily had been charged with stalking in 2019. The case was dropped when the victim recanted. She's done this before. The bathroom door creaked. Emily leaned against the frame, sipping my kombucha. Find anything interesting? I slammed the laptop. You're a predator. And you're a product. She crouched, tilting my chin up. But don't worry. I'll take good care of you. Just like I did Lila. I ran. Not far, just to the bodega down the street, where I bought burner phones and a bottle of cheap gin. The cashier recognized me. Ain't you that cancer girl? I didn't answer. Back home, I called every contact I hadn't burned. Lawyers, agents, even my estranged dad. Voicemails. Due to high demand. This number is disconnected. Jake answered on the last dial. Emily's lying, I choked. The baby, the transplant, it's all a scam. She's done this to other people. Silence. Then, I know. The floor dropped. What? She showed me the folder weeks ago. The stalking charges, the influencers. It's fucked up. But Viv, his voice hardened. You're worse. You did this sober. The line died. Emily found me on the fire escape, the gin half gone, the city lights swimming below. Ah, melodrama, she said, snapping a photo. Should I caption it before the jump? I hurled the bottle. It shattered at her feet. Why me? She stepped over the glass, her smile a razor. Because you're perfect. Beautiful, corrupt, hungry. You made it so easy. I lunged. We grappled, knees scraping concrete, nails drawing blood. She was stronger than she looked. Do it, she gasped, her head dangling over the edge. Push me. Become the villain. I froze. She laughed, wild and unhinged. You can't. You're weak. The door burst open. Jake stood there, phone raised. Smile, Viv. The flash blinded me. By dawn, the photo was everywhere. At Pop Crave, violent influencer attacks pregnant savior. Emily was hospitalized with minor injuries, holding a press conference from her gurney. I just wanted to help her, she sobbed, a neck brace cinching her lies. I was arrested in pajamas, the world watching as they cuffed me. Emily blew a kiss from her stretcher. Checkmate, bitch. Chapter 6, The Crucible. Jail smelled like bleach and hopelessness. The fluorescent lights buzzed like wasps, flickering over the graffiti-etched bench where I sat, picking at the peeling vinyl. My orange jumpsuit itched, the fabric stiff with someone else's sweat. Across the cell, a meth head named Tanya muttered Bible verses through cracked teeth. I'd been in here 72 hours, but time had turned to sludge, thick, suffocating, endless. The cops had paraded me through a gauntlet of cameras, Emily's attack footage playing on loop in the squad car. Cancer fraudster turns violent, TMZ screeched. My mugshot, mascara smeared, lips snarling, had already been memed into oblivion. Viv the Shiv, Twitter christened me. Incarcerated influencer. I'd been processed, strip-searched, and tossed into this concrete shoebox with nothing but my rage and a commissary order form. No bail. No lawyer. Just the echo of Emily's voice in my skull. Checkmate, bitch. The first visitor wasn't my mom. Vivian Voss? A guard barked, jangling keys. Attorney. I shuffled into the visitation room, cuffed wrists chafing. Behind the plexiglass sat a woman in a navy blazer, her dark hair slicked into a ruthless bun. She looked like a corporate assassin. I'm Miranda Cruz, she said, sliding a business card under the partition. Cruz and Associates, Crisis Management. Your father hired me. I blinked. My dad had ghosted when I was 6, leaving behind a pack of camels and a kid's bop CD. Bullshit. She smirked. He saw your arrest on ESPN. Thinks you're entertaining. Wants to monetize your trial. The laugh that tore out of me was feral. Tell him to fuck himself. Gladly. But first, she opened a manila folder, revealing photos of Emily. Let's talk about your savior. The top photo showed Emily at a press conference, her neck brace gleaming under studio lights. Caption: I forgive Vivian. We need to protect women from manipulation. She's pitching a nonprofit, Miranda said. The Emily Warren Foundation for Mental Health and Transplant Awareness. Donations were pouring in. Next photo, Jake, arm around Emily, waving to paparazzi outside my old apartment. Your ex is co-signing her book deal, Miranda said. Sacrifice and survival. How I loved a liar. The last photo froze my blood. Emily and a silver-haired man at Carbone, clinking champagne flutes. Senator Richard Warren. Her father. Wait, I choked. She's a Warren? As in Warren Pharmaceuticals? Miranda nodded. Daddy's the reason her stalking charges vanished. He's also funding her foundation. You're not just fighting Emily, you're fighting a billion-dollar empire. I stared at the photo, Emily's smile sharp enough to slit throats. All this time, she wasn't just a stalker. She was a goddamn heiress with a vendetta. Why tell me this? I said. Miranda leaned closer. Because I want to bury her. And you're the shovel. The plan was suicide. Miranda needed me to testify against Emily, expose the blackmail, the fake pregnancy, the stolen kidney. In exchange, she'd get my charges reduced to misdemeanors. Probation, community service, and a lifetime of side eye, she'd said. But first, I needed proof. Lila Torres, Miranda said, sliding a file to me. Sound familiar? The photo showed a vibrant Latina woman mid-lunge, dumbbells raised. Her Instagram handle, at Lift with Lila, had been inactive for 18 months. Emily's first project, Miranda said. Lila accused her of harassment, but the case vanished. Just like yours will. So find her, I said. I did. Miranda's gaze turned grave. She's dead. Overdose. But her sister's willing to talk. She slid a number across the table. Maya Torres. Call her. Today. The payphone stank of urine and despair. I dialed, praying Maya wouldn't hang up. Hello. A woman's voice, wary. Maya. It's Vivian Voss. I know who you are. Her tone iced over. Why the fuck are you calling? Emily Warren killed your sister. Silence. Then a shaky breath. Prove it. I told her everything. The folder on Emily's laptop, the stalking charges, the influencers who'd vanished. Lila wasn't her first. And I wasn't her last. Help me stop her. Maya's voice cracked. Meet me. But if this is a trick. It's not, I said. I've got nothing left to lose. Miranda pulled strings. A medical emergency got me cuffed to a hospital bed for 2 hours, long enough for Maya to visit. She looked like Lila, but harder. Dark circles, a septum piercing, a tattoo of her sister's name on her wrist. Emily stalked Lila for a year, Maya said, handing me a thumb drive. Sent her dead roses, leaked nudes, impersonated her online. When Lila confronted her, Emily had her committed. Psychotic break. The drive held audio files. Lila's voice frantic. She's in my house. She's wearing my clothes. Emily's laugh, honeyed and cruel. You're mine, Lila. Just like Viv's mine now. I gripped the drive. Why come forward? Maya's eyes blazed. Because you're the first one she didn't kill. Emily visited that night. They marched me into a windowless room, cuffs bolted to the table. She swept in wearing head-to-toe Prada, her neck brace swapped for a silk scarf. Miss me? She purred, snapping a selfie with me in the background. Fuck you. She pouted. Still feisty. The fans love it. She showed me her phone, a change.org petition. Free Vivian Voss. Mental health matters. You're sick, I spat. I'm merciful, she corrected. Sign over your life rights, and I'll make your sentence comfortable. Or what? You'll kill me like Lila. Her smile didn't falter. Lila was weak. You. She leaned in, her perfume choking me. You'll break spectacularly. I lunged, the cuffs biting into my wrists. I have the audio. The files. I'll bury you. She stood, smoothing her skirt. With what lawyer? Your daddy's hired gun. Her laugh echoed off the concrete. Miranda Cruz works for me. The door slammed. The truth detonated. Miranda's card burned in my pocket. I shredded it, the pieces fluttering into the toilet. No lawyers. No allies. Just Maya's thumb drive hidden in my bra. That night, I bribed Tanya with commissary Skittles to smuggle a burner phone. Dialed the only number I knew by heart. Jake answered on the first ring. Viv, I need a favor. Silence. Then, name it. Break into my old apartment. Emily's laptop password is bubblegumbitch22. Upload everything to @popcrave. He exhaled. She'll destroy me. She already has. A pause. What's in it for me? The truth. The riot started at dawn. Someone had leaked Emily's files, audio clips, photos, the list of victims. Twitter imploded. Hashtag Emily Warren is a monster trended globally. By noon, the Warren Pharmaceuticals stock plummeted. By 3 p.m., protesters swarmed Emily's penthouse, their chants rattling the city. No justice, no peace. In my cell, Tanya smuggled me a newspaper. The headline gutted me. Pharma heiress arrested in influencer stalking scandal. Emily's mugshot glared back, her perfect hair disheveled, silk scarf askew. I laughed until I cried. Miranda came one last time, her blazer wrinkled, smirk intact. You're free. For now. Did you know? I asked. About Emily? She shrugged. I know everything. That's why you'll pay me 30% of your memoir deal. The guards uncuffed me. I stood, legs wobbling. What memoir? Miranda handed me a contract. Blood type influencer. I signed in blood. Outside, the sunlight scalded. Paparazzi swarmed, screaming questions. I ignored them, scanning the crowd for Jake. He stood apart, hood up, holding a single pink rose. Our eyes met. He nodded. I turned away. A black SUV idled at the curb. Maya leaned against it, tossing me keys. Ready. I climbed in, the thumb drive burning in my palm. Drive. Chapter 7, The Aftermath. Freedom tasted like exhaust fumes and stale coffee. The paparazzi swarmed the courthouse steps, their cameras clicking like 1,000 hungry insects. I kept my head down, Maya's leather jacket pulled tight around me, her motorcycle idling at the curb. Get on, she barked, tossing me a helmet. I climbed behind her, the engine roaring to life as we peeled away from the chaos. The wind whipped my face raw, but I welcomed it. Anything to scrub off the jail stench, the memory of Emily's smirk through plexiglass. We didn't speak until we hit the Bronx. Maya's safe house was a crumbling walk-up above a bodega, the walls papered with missing persons flyers and old concert posters. She kicked open the door, revealing a war room of sorts. Laptops, police scanners, a corkboard strung with red yarn connecting photos of Emily, Senator Warren, and a dozen other faces I didn't recognize. Home sweet hellhole, Maya said, cracking a beer. You shower first. You reek. The shower was a rusted stall with a dribbling head, but I stood under it until the water ran cold. When I emerged, Maya was hunched over her laptop, playing security footage of Emily's penthouse being raided. Warren Pharmaceuticals suspended trading today, she said, not looking up. Daddy's sweating. But Emily's still got friends. I towelled my hair, eyeing the corkboard. A photo of Jake caught my eye, him leaving a dive bar, face gaunt, eyes hollow. Where'd you get these? Stole 'em. She grinned, all teeth. Hacked the FBI's cloud. Those fucks couldn't find a virus in a whorehouse. I picked up a file labeled Project Lazarus. Inside, emails between Senator Warren and a lab in Switzerland. Subject EW requires priority access to serum prototype. What's Project Lazarus? Maya snatched the file back. Not your problem yet. Sit. She shoved a burner phone at me. Your fans miss you. The screen lit up with Twitter. My name was still trending. At CancelViv. She's out? Justice is dead. Hashtag TeamViv. Y'all, she was framed. At Emily Warren updates. Free Emily Warren. Emily's stans had mobilized. Conspiracy threads dissected my trial, her arrest, the deep state takedown of the Warrens. Memes spliced my mugshot with horror villains. One account had photoshopped me into the Crucible poster. Cute, I muttered. Maya snorted. Wait till you see your IMDb. She pulled up a page for Blood Type, Influencer, a Lifetime movie already in production. The tagline. She faked cancer, but her lies were deadlier. Casting photos showed a Z-list actress with my face plastered over hers via deepfake. They can't do that, I said. Already did. Maya opened a legal notice. Miranda sold the rights. You get 15%. Of course she did. The memoir draft arrived at midnight. Miranda had outsourced it to a ghostwriter. A true crime hack who'd turned my life into a sob story. Chapter 1. The Girl Who Cried Cancer. I trashed the file and started writing my own version. They say you can't remember pain. Bullshit. I remember every needle, every lie, every time Emily Warren smiled as she broke me. Maya read over my shoulder, her breath sharp with tequila. Needs more blood. It's a memoir, not a snuff film. She pointed at the screen. This is your snuff film. Lean into it. Tell them how you clawed out of that jail cell. How you'll burn the whole fucking system down. I deleted the line. Jake found us 3 days later. Maya's security feed caught him lurking outside the bodega, hood up, face unshaven. She grabbed her Glock. Stay here. Don't shoot him, I said. No promises. She returned with Jake in a headlock, his wrists zip-tied. He looked worse up close, sunken eyes, a split lip, the tattoo of my initials on his forearm half scratched off. I'm sorry, he blurted, blood dribbling down his chin. Emily made me. Maya kicked his legs out. Save it for the camera, pretty boy. I crouched in front of him. Why are you here? He met my eyes for the first time in months. They're coming for you. Emily's people. They think you have the Lazarus files. Maya stiffened. What do you know about Lazarus? It's a drug. Experimental. Emily was their test subject after the transplant. Kept her stable. He swallowed. They think you stole it. Maya hauled him up. Who's they? Warren's lab. They're here. In the city. The lights flickered. The security feed died. We ditched the safe house at 2 a.m., Maya's duffel bag stuffed with guns, cash, and the Lazarus files. Jake trailed us, hands still bound. He's a liability, Maya hissed, gunning the motorcycle down back alleys. He's bait, I said. We holed up in a no-tell motel off I-95, the kind with hourly rates and bloodstained carpets. Maya jammed a chair under the doorknob. I tossed Jake a protein bar. Talk, I said. He chewed slowly, buying time. After the arrest, Warren's guys approached me. Said they'd make me famous if I helped track you down. Gave me this. He pulled a silver vial from his pocket. Lazarus. One drop and you're bulletproof for 24 hours. Maya snatched it. Where's the rest? Emily has it. She's not in jail anymore. The room tilted. What? Her dad cut a deal. House arrest at their estate. She's got a private lab, security, the whole fucking compound. He leaned forward, eyes wild. She's not done with you, Viv. She's enhanced. Maya chambered around. We're done here. Wait. Jake yanked a flash drive from his sock. Blueprints. Security grids. Everything. I took it. Why help us? He smiled bitter. Because she'll kill me either way. The flash drive held nightmares. Photos of Emily strapped to a gurney, IVs pumping black fluid into her veins. Lab reports. Subject EW exhibits accelerated healing, heightened aggression, cellular regeneration, security footage of her snapping a guard's neck with her bare hands. Maya whistled. They turned her into Wolverine. The last file was a video. Emily, pale and gaunt, her eyes glowing faintly amber. Hi, Viv. Her voice crackled through the speakers. Miss me? I've been upgrading. Daddy's little science project. But don't worry, I saved some serum for you. Let's play. The screen cut to live feed. My mom's house, her porch light flickering. TikTok, Emily sang. We left Jake cuffed to the bed. She'll send someone for him, Maya said, loading magazines into her waistband. Good. The highway blurred. I clutched the Lazarus vial, Jake's warning echoing. One drop and you're bulletproof. Maya glanced at me. Don't even think about it. I pocketed the vial. Mom's house was dark. No reporters, no cops. just the hum of cicadas and the stench of rust. The front door was ajar. We cleared the rooms, guns raised. The kitchen was a slaughterhouse, shattered plates, blood smeared on the fridge. A trail led to the basement. Mom lay on the concrete, her neck bent at an impossible angle. Emily crouched beside her, licking blood off a blade. "You're late," she said. Chapter 8, The Serum. Emily's blade glinted under the bare basement bulb, her amber eyes glowing like feral headlights. She rose slowly, her movements fluid, unnatural, the Lazarus serum humming beneath her skin. My mother's body lay between us, her vacant eyes reflecting the horror I couldn't scream. "You bitch," I choked, the gun trembling in my grip. Emily tilted her head, a mockery of sympathy. "Ah, Viv, you know I couldn't let her live. She'd have humanized you." I fired. The bullet tore through her shoulder. She staggered, laughed, then healed. The wound stitching itself closed in seconds, black veins spidering under her skin. "That's new," Maya muttered behind me, her Glock trained on Emily's chest. Emily lunged. The world blurred. She moved faster than humanly possible, slamming Maya into the concrete wall. Bone crunched. Maya slid down, gasping, as Emily pivoted to me. "Your turn," she purred. I emptied the clip. Bullets punched into her torso, but she kept coming, each step knitting flesh and bone. Her fist connected with my jaw. I flew backward, crashing into my mother's sewing table, needles embedding in my back. Maya tackled Emily, stabbing a switchblade into her thigh. Emily roared, backhanding her into the furnace. Metal dented. Maya slumped, unconscious. "Enough," Emily hissed, yanking the blade from her leg. The wound sealed. "You're boring me." I scrambled for the Lazarus vial in my pocket, Jake's warning clawing at my mind. "One drop and you're bulletproof." "But at what cost?" Emily kicked me onto my back, her boot crushing my ribs. "Where is it?" "What?" I wheezed. "The serum. My serum." She crouched, digging her thumb into my bullet wound. White-hot pain seared. "You stole it. Give it back, and I'll make your death quick." Blood filled my mouth. "Go to hell," she sighed. "Always the hard way." Her fist arced down. I rolled, her knuckles cratering the floor. The vial slipped from my pocket, clattering into the shadows. Emily's eyes locked on it. "Mine," she snarled, lunging. I grabbed a pair of fabric shears and stabbed them into her calf. She screamed, more rage than pain, and backhanded me into the stairs. Wood splintered. The vial rolled toward Maya's limp hand. "No!" Emily shrieked, limping after it. I crawled, my vision swimming. Emily's fingers grazed the vial, just as Maya's eyes fluttered open. She grabbed it, hurling it to me. "Do it!" Maya croaked. Emily lunged at me. I ripped the cap off with my teeth and swallowed. The serum hit like napalm. Fire erupted in my veins, my bones cracking and reforming. My senses sharpened. I could smell Emily's rage, hear the flutter of moth wings near the bulb. She froze, nostrils flaring. "What did you do?" I stood, my body humming with raw, unholy power. Leveled the playing field. She attacked. This time I matched her speed. We crashed through the basement, fists and claws, a cyclone of shattered concrete and blood. She broke my arm, I shattered her knee. She healed. I healed. An endless loop of violence. Maya dragged herself to the stairs, shouting, "Her eyes. Go for her eyes." Emily's fist collided with my temple. I reeled, then retaliated, thumbs gouging at her amber irises. She howled, black blood oozing as her socket sealed. "You'll never win," she spat. "I'm perfected." "You're pathetic," I snarled. "Daddy's lab rat." The insult struck deeper than any blade. She faltered. I headbutted her, our skulls cracking like gunshots. She staggered, and I seized the shears, plunging them into her chest. For a heartbeat, she gaped, black blood bubbling from her lips. Then she laughed. "You think this matters?" She yanked the shears out, her flesh knitting. "I'll always be stronger. Faster. Better." The basement door exploded. Men in tactical gear swarmed, rifles raised, Warren Pharmaceuticals' private militia. "Down!" Maya tackled me as bullets rained. Emily vanished in the chaos, her laughter echoing. "Till next time, sis." The militia torched the house. We barely escaped, diving through a basement window as flames engulfed my childhood home. Maya's arm was broken, her face streaked with soot and blood. I carried her, the serum's power fading, agony returning in waves. We stumbled into the woods, collapsing by a creek. Maya splashed water on her face, grimacing. "How long? How long what? Till you turn into her." I stared at my reflection, my pupils flickered amber. "I don't know." She handed me the empty vial. We need more. No, I threw it into the creek. I'm not becoming that monster. Too late. She nodded at my hands. Black veins crept beneath my skin. Jake found us at dawn. He looked worse, gaunt, paranoid, a fresh burn scar on his neck. They tried to kill me. Join the club, Maya muttered. He eyed my veins. You took it. Had to. He grabbed my wrist, fingers pressing the blackened pulse point. It's accelerating. You need an antidote. There is no antidote, Maya said. There is. Jake pulled a USB from his boot. Warren's lab. The original formula. If we destroy it, the serum dies. She dies. Maya snatched it. Where's the lab? Upstate. Fortified. Impossible to breach. I stood, the serum's residue still humming. Nothing's impossible. The lab was a concrete monstrosity hidden in the Adirondacks, surrounded by electric fences and armed guards. We surveilled from a ridge, Maya mapping patrols, Jake loading stolen rifles. You'll need this. He tossed me a grenade. I stared at the compound, my enhanced vision picking out heat signatures. I'll go in alone. Bullshit, Maya snapped. The serum's fading. I've got one shot. I gripped the grenade. Create a diversion. Blow the east gate. She hesitated, then nodded. Don't die. Jake touched my arm. Viv, I'm sorry. For everything. I shook him off. Save it for the memoir. The diversion worked. Maya's Molotovs ignited the east guard tower, drawing the militia. I scaled the north wall, my muscles screaming, veins now inky black. Inside, the lab was sterile cold, lined with cells holding test subjects, twitching, mutated, begging. I found the server room. The Lazarus formula glowed on the screens, petabytes of data. I jammed the grenade into the mainframe, pulled the pin, and ran. The explosion tore the compound apart. Flames licked my skin as I fled, the serum's last dregs healing me. Guard screams faded. I reached the treeline, collapsing as the lab imploded. Maya found me hours later, the serum's effects gone, my veins normal. Did it work? I rasped. She helped me stand. Let's hope. Emily's scream echoed through the forest. We turned. She staggered from the smoke, her amber eyes dimming, black blood oozing from every orifice. The lab's destruction was killing her. You, she seethed, clawing at me. I caught her wrist, brittle as ash. Game over. She crumbled, her body disintegrating into a pile of blackened bone and sludge. Maya spat on the remains. Rot in hell. Chapter 9, The Legacy. The woods were silent after Emily's scream died. No birds, no wind, just the crackle of the smoldering lab and the metallic tang of blood clotting in my throat. Maya knelt beside me, pressing a wad of torn fabric to the gash on my arm, but I barely felt it. The Lazarus serum had hollowed me out, leaving behind a brittle shell. My veins still pulsed faintly black under my skin, a tattoo of my sins. Jake emerged from the trees, his face ashen, staring at the pile of ash and bone that had been Emily. Is it over? No, Maya said, standing. Warren's empire doesn't die with his psycho kid. We need to burn the body. Already on it, I muttered, flicking a lighter I'd stolen from Jake's pocket. The flames caught quickly, devouring what was left of Emily Warren. Her remains hissed like wet logs, the stench of charred flesh and chemicals clawing at my lungs. Now what? Jake asked, voice small. Maya shouldered her rifle. Now we disappear. We split up. Jake vanished into the nearest town, cash in hand, promising to start over. Maya and I took the motorcycle, cutting through backroads until we hit a derelict cabin in the Catskills. The walls were paper thin, the roof sagging, but it had a wood stove and a view of the valley. A good place to rot. The serum's withdrawal hit hard. Fever dreams of Emily's amber eyes, phantom pains where bullets had torn through me, and a hunger that no amount of canned beans could satisfy. Maya hunted rabbits and patched the roof while I wrote. The memoir. Not Miranda's sanitized lie. Mine. They'll call me a monster. A liar. A killer. They're right. But before you judge, let me tell you how it feels to sell your soul for likes, to trade your humanity for a hit of serum, to love someone so much you let them destroy you. Maya read pages over my shoulder, her breath sharp with whiskey. Needs more rage. It's not about rage, I said. It's about regret. She snorted. Same thing. The first fan letter arrived in a battered envelope, forwarded by Miranda. Dear Vivian, I believed you. I donated to your GoFundMe. I bought your candles. You made me feel less alone. Now I feel stupid. Was any of it real? I burned it. The second came with a lock of hair. You owe me. The third was a wedding invitation. Join us for the union of Jake Carter and Emily Warren. RSVP enclosed. Maya found me hyperventilating over it, the paper crumpled in my fist. "It's a trap. Or a sick joke," I said. She checked the postmark. "Upstate. Warren's estate. The date was tomorrow. We went armed." The estate was a gothic monstrosity, all turrets and ivy, lit by floodlights that turned the night into day. Guards patrolled the gates, but they were lax, drunk on hubris and cheap beer. Maya slit two throats while I snapped a third's neck, the serum's ghost still lingering in my reflexes. The chapel was empty save for Jake, standing at the altar in a tuxedo two sizes too big, and a veiled figure in a white gown. "You came," Jake said, grinning like a death row clown. I leveled my gun. "Where is she?" The figure lifted her veil. "Not Emily. A girl. 16, maybe, with freckles and terrified eyes. Please don't shoot." Maya cursed. "It's a decoy." Jake raised his hands. "Emily's alive. The serum, it's in her blood. She's healing. And she wants to see you." The chapel doors slammed. She descended the stairs like a revenant, her skin translucent, veins glowing faintly amber. Half her face was still bone, the other half stitching itself back together. "You didn't think it'd be that easy, did you?" Emily rasped, her voice a wet rattle. Maya fired. The bullet tore through Emily's chest, but she kept walking, black blood oozing from the wound. "Enough," I said, stepping forward. "It's me you want." Emily's grin split her face, flesh peeling. "Always." She lunged. We crashed through stained glass, tumbling into the garden. Her claws raked my face. I stabbed her with a shard of rose quartz. She screamed, the sound guttural, inhuman. "You'll never win," she hissed. "I already lost," I said, driving the shard deeper. "But so did you." The mansion erupted in gunfire. "Maya's doing." Emily staggered, her body failing. "This isn't the end." "Yes," I said, "it is." I snapped her neck. This time she didn't heal. Maya found me cradling Jake's body in the chapel. He'd taken a bullet meant for me, his blood soaking into the pews. "Why?" I whispered. He smiled, crimson bubbles on his lips. "Told you. I'm sorry." His hand went limp. The memoir hit shelves 6 months later. Miranda packaged it as a cautionary tale, but the dedication page was mine. For the girl who believed the lie. For the boy who died for it. For the monster I became. It sold 1 million copies in a week. Maya disappeared into the Alaskan wilderness, leaving a postcard. "Don't come looking." I bought a cabin in the Rockies, far from Wi-Fi and headlines. The black veins faded, but the hunger stayed, for answers, for absolution, for the rush of a lie too sweet to resist. Sometimes, at night, I log into a burner account and scroll the comments. At Truthseeker, Vivian Voss is a hero. At Emily Forever, she's a murderer. At Cancelled Queen, when's the sequel? I never reply. But I'm writing.